Yes. Hello, everyone.
All right, welcome to Toad Talk. Billy Wessels, Clint Foster, and welcome to YouTube world, because we're trying to stream this live right now. There's a handful of people watching. Hello, people.
Hello to you.
We can take questions as they come up. But yeah, this is your National Signing Day Spectacular. And then at the end of this podcast, I finally got a hold of Lee Nalen on Monday. So that's getting tackled at the end of the audio version of this here podcast. So
yes.
You can enjoy the live stream right now, as a couple of you are. I got two thumbs ups. So as that continues to go up, enjoy that. Then tune into the recorded version on your podcast devices, and you can hear Lee Nalen talk a little bit about
it. We're pulling
that.
Out all the stops today.
This is a wild wild National Signing Day Spectacular. And like, if you follow Horned Frog Blitz, obviously you follow Jeremy and the amazing work that he does, you have known about most of this stuff, but even some stuff happened today that Jeremy was shocked by. So
yeah,
it's been a day for Horned Frog fans. People are like, are they going to have any commits in this class? Is anyone going to sign?
Oh, have we got some news for you.
They have 8 commits so far. They're ranked 20,000th in the country in recruits.
Hey.
TCU does what they always do, and they find a way to rally late. And you can't really go by off of what the numbers say currently on 247, their team rankings, because two of those commits are reclassified at 2020s that are moving forward a year. Essentially, should be a year older, a year better. Now I'm starting to have a little bit of trepidation. We'll get to that in a minute. I should introduce you and let you say something first.
No.
Clint Foster, speak.
Yes, here I am.
Speak, dog. Speak. If you saw your back and forth on Twitter today, you'd know what that is.
Yes, hooded chihuahuas and their trollery, which I just bought hook, line, and sinker.
You did.
But that's okay. I like to educate the masses about just how misinformed they are about Ohio State opinions.
Well, how misinformed they are and how misinformed the college football world is.
It
seems like, unless you live in Ohio. Wow.
Yeah.
Oahu?
They're basically the same place.
Essentially, they're places no one actually lives. They're states of mind. They're pretentious.
They're both huge vacation destinations.
But really, yeah. People say, man, I can't wait to get to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Outside of Ohio, people know that, hey, this committee's stupid. And what's dumb is, it took people 6 years to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Now people are trying to realize, what about BYU? What about Coastal Carolina? No, what about TCU in 2014?
Yeah, we've been... hell, what about Baylor in 2014, you know? They're even more qualified.
I would be mad, but I could at least rationalize it if they had put Baylor
in. They had a better resume than Ohio State.
Yeah, yes, both
they
of them
did.
Both TCU and Baylor did, but that's arbitrary, beside the point.
Yes.
We're not going to rehash this for the next
hour. We're talking recruiting today.
We're talking primarily recruiting. We might do a little basketball. We'll answer a couple questions.
Yes.
But yeah, as you got questions, people are chiming in.
Look
people
at all of this. Hey, this. Fun stuff.
Some people are saying what's up. So yeah, if you got questions, send them in that way as well.
Enjoy this magnificent video quality.
Yeah, this is I assume it looks better on their end. I'm not sure.
Hopefully. We can only hope.
Hopefully, but it sounds just as good as always on the podcast sphere. So where do you want to start with first? You want to see where the team rankings stand right now? Do you want to start with just kind of run down the list as they came in? You want to go down the list as they are ranked? What do you think the best ways to do this?
Why don't we start with the overall ranking of the class, and then we'll go down these guys individually. We'll talk about some of the guys we fully expect to be gems.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the, I feel like most of these guys, this is such a quintessential TCU class to me, because there's so many diamonds in the rough. It's that 3-star recruit, 5-star player thing, right?
Yeah.
These are the types of guys that we built this program with back in the Conference USA days, back in the Mountain West days. These are the type of guys that are going to take us to the top now.
The kinds that TCU wins with from 21 and beyond. We're all excited for 2021. But yeah, looking at the current team standings, team rankings, and recruiting again, as GP would say, if we got to talk to GP today, go, those are your rankings, not mine.
Yes, paper tigers.
It's not mine. But yeah, that's what he would say, essentially. So stars don't win it. And I've kind of turned my head around on stars mattering in some spots. TCU is one of those places where stars really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And
we're the exception to the
TCU,
rule.
TCU, Boise, sometimes BYU are really kind of exceptions. We're like, well, they got a bunch of 2 and 3 stars. Who cares?
Well, also BYU, when your 2-star has, 16 years to mature.
True. That's true. When they're 47 years old, yeah, they've been shaving for 2 decades.
They have a decade of dick punching experience under them. And
sure. Is that a BYU reference?
Oh, yeah. You did not know about this?
I guess not.
Dude,
don't show me.
Spend any time watching a BYU game. And this is what's so hilarious about what Coastal Carolina did to them. People were like, oh, Coastal Carolina was being so classless. That was like the first time in years that BYU had done to them what they do to everyone else.
Hmm.
Just cheap shots, lots of crotch punches after the play. If you pay attention to any BYU game, you will see it. They do it down there.
Just zoom in on Mormon crotches.
Yes. You'll be satisfied. Well, not the Mormon. The Mormon crotches stay secure, you know, but they, okay, they're, but some of they're them. Doing yeah, the punching yeah. elsewhere.
They protect. Anyway, yeah. So BYU, I don't see anywhere near this year ranking. So looking at the class list, so right now TCU is number 56. Again, this is based on 2021. There are still two guys in the 2020 class that have reclassified for 2021 that are not mentioned here. Mm. So that brings you up to 15 total commits, four stars. Right now, according to this, they're sitting at 13 commits, two four stars. So they're sitting at 56, and that's ninth in the Big 12, which is not good. And I can't even see which I can't even guess which one school they're ahead of because the Baylor's ahead of them, Iowa State, Kansas State, Kansas is even ahead of them, West Virginia's ahead of them. Who does that even leave? Texas Tech, because there's West Virginia. So if you add in two more commits and two more four stars, I'm scrolling up to see where that would likely put you. I see Auburn is sitting there with 12 commits and four stars. Arizona State with 14 commits and four stars. So you'd be slightly ahead of Arizona State, who's sitting at 45. You'd probably be somewhere between 40 and 44, just somewhere in that ballpark. Baylor's at 41, so they have 17 commits, two four stars. So you're in that 40 to 45 range, and that jumps you up ahead of Iowa State, Kansas State, Kansas, who you expect to out-recruit every year. So that puts you in the middle of the pack, which is still less than ideal, less than you expect. But again, this is still the first signing day. There's another one coming up in February.
Yeah.
And we also knew all along this would be a ridiculously small class.
Because we're a ridiculously young team.
And very few seniors on it. So yeah. I thought this would be a smaller class. They'd probably get a couple more in February. But again, they bring back pretty much every starter except for definitely Wallow and maybe not Merrick.
Mm-hmm.
And Pro Wells,
I suppose, yeah.
But they add a tight end here, a sneaky tight end that I'm excited about.
Yes.
But yeah, so that's kind of weird.
Well, a couple of tight ends. One may or may not play tight end.
Yeah, one I think is going to be for sure tight end. So yeah. We can get into that in a second. But I think that you can look at this really as a between 40 and 45 ranked class sitting there. Let's call it 43. Bump Virginia Tech, who has 26 commits, all of which are three stars or less. So they're probably better than Virginia Tech. That's fair to say.
Well, and I would argue that a lot of these three stars are significantly underrated. Landon Watson, specifically.
Landon Watson, especially.
Very underrated at three stars.
On TCU's press release from which I'm guessing maybe is by maybe it's by Rivals or maybe it's the cumulative thing, that Landon is listed as a four star in here. So Landon is a guy who we've thought about all along as kind of been, I don't know if the face is the right way of this class, but he's been one of the more vocal commits, more vocal prospects on Twitter, someone with a really good tape too. So he's a guy that I'm excited to see. And also the last guy that came from Hutto to TCU did pretty well.
Yeah, worked out pretty good. Yeah. Jeremy Curley being that last Hutto hippo that came.
Yeah, so Landon Watson is in 6'3", 235, pick TCU over, have you heard of LSU? Arizona State, Arkansas, ringing a Baylor. Bell. Yeah, you might have heard of LSU. Again, maybe a little bit more down this year than normal, but Florida State's in there. Cal, Houston, Kansas, Michigan's in there. So a lot of people wanted Landon. Landon's a great player who, again, is rated a three-star on here right now. Feel pretty good. Feel very good about his future.
Well, and I think definitely of the Texas kids in this class, Landon is the gem. He's the one that is the most highly rated of all the Texas kids coming in. He was actually, I have my Texas Football Rising magazine. You should subscribe to Texas Football if you don't. I don't know what you're doing if you don't
Is that a Dave Campbell's offshoot?
Yeah, Campbell's offshoot. This is their recruiting specialty magazine.
What he was say?
Well, he was their 2021 cover boy. So they did a whole story about him. And then here on their little quick hitter about Landon Watson, and it says, plays above his listed size as an odd front end who projects to even front end or hybrid edge role depending on physical development. Plays low and strong against the run. Motor runs high. You'd love to hear that.
Yep, I love a motor.
That's your Kari Coleman types, right? Your Moon Bison types. Plays through the whistle, does not lack effort, closes fast on the ball, and tackles consistently. That's a guy who, he can be a contributor here for, you know, pretty much all four years of the year.
Yeah, and if you look at the defensive end depth, you've got O'Shawn Mathew, you've got Kari Coleman, who have ascended to be your starters.
Ascended is an excellent word.
Thank you, and to be the face of the Big 12 next year as far as defensive ends go. O'Shawn, again, next year will be his senior year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because again, he was a sophomore this year. Technically, he could leave after this year if he wanted to, because he's a redshirt. He's not going to. He's going to come back and play next year. But maybe he's a guy that leaves early. Maybe he's the next guy that leaves the program a little bit early. And Landon Watson's that kind of guy that I think can step into that role in 2022 into what O'Shawn Mathis left.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, also in the same mold, in the same vein as Chris Murray, who's another defensive end from Wichita Falls Hershey High School.
So DeMarquay Foster's stomping grounds.
There you go. He's 6'3", 240. Watson's 6'3", 235. So very comparable, at least size-wise, players going there. He had offers from Air Force, Arizona, Boise, aforementioned, Cincinnati. He's another guy that a lot of people wanted. Then he's just a great player. Like, Hershey is a great program.
Oh, it really is. Athletes. A lot of people, I feel like Hershey is a really well-kept secret as far as DFW goes. Mm-hmm. People think of Wichita Falls, they think of Ryder, they think of Wichita Falls High. Hershey, as somebody who covered Mineral Wells for a number of years, and Mineral Wells played Hershey all the time, they still do, Hershey always has at least one kid who is just an insane athlete on their team, who carries the team. Usually it's a running back, like DeMarquay Foster was, but Chris Murray, he's been that guy this last year, and this is a dude who only good things can come from. I think if I was a coach, I would look at Hershey every single year and like, is there one kid that I can offer on Hershey every single year? Because there probably is.
Yeah, and there, I mean, usually at least is, right? They usually put a couple guys, D1 or Group of Five or whatever, every year, it seems like. So Chris Murray, Landon Watson, I feel good about the defensive ends going forward in this class. Now, you said earlier that Watson was the highest rated Texas kid in the class. One of the surprises today was Amonte Watkins.
Oh, that's true.
The Houston Klein Forest running back, all-purpose back, 5'10", 173, four-star running back. Running back you, dare we say?
I mean, you know, it's not like we are lacking in those insanely talented running
and
backs.
And all really young. I mean, but this is something where right, Zach Evans, we love. He's a guy that goes early. Like he's a guy that will probably be here for 2 years.
Well, he literally said like that his goal is to play 3 years and go pro.
Yeah. So you have 2 years of Zach Evans left.
Yeah.
You have probably two, maybe three of Darwin Barlow. Again, whether Barlow's a guy that leaves early and goes pro or not, he's a guy that's a running back. That's a lot of pounding you get at college level for little payout at college.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a guy that, again, doesn't leaves early football-wise, but doesn't leave early as far as academically, who can maybe go a year early. So a guy like Watkins could be a guy that comes in and says, cool, those guys are starting to peace out, or I can bide my time. If you listened, was it last week before we had B.J. Catalan on?
Yeah.
And talk about what it's like to be in a talented running back room. He's a guy that can kind of fill and add some depth there. He turned down Miami, or turned down aforementioned Louisiana Tech, turned down Purdue, turned down Texas A&M, turned down Texas Tech, turned down Utah, and Big 12 rival West Virginia to come to TCU. Some of the schools that were in on Amonte Watkins.
So. Yeah, well, and you mentioned BJ. BJ is another guy who came in here pretty highly recruited. I want to say he was maybe a four-star when he got recruited, or high three.
Yeah, he was really highly rated anyway.
But still, he came in with that attitude of like, hey, I'm the young guy. I'm in an insanely talented running back room. I can learn from these guys, bide my time, contribute whenever I can, and then eventually it's going to be my show. Mm-hmm. If that's the attitude that Watkins has, he can be really successful here.
Yeah, Callum was a three-star back from Houston Westside, 5'7", 185. I didn't realize he was that short.
Oh yeah, he's a small guy.
Yeah, and they always look bigger in pads, right? Yeah. But I didn't necessarily put it together. We talked to him on the phone last time, so yeah
he's shorter than me, and I am not a tall person.
you can tell this. You can't really tell. We're sitting down.
I'm in the foreground, so I look enormous, right?
We're playing with depth perception. Yeah. I'm the actual giant here.
Yeah.
So he was one of the four stars that signed today. Another four star that if you follow Horned Frog Blitz that you were ready for, mentioned for a while, Sam Jackson.
Yes.
So
they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell. Yeah,
so let your gifts. Let your jokes, let everything flow through you.
And hold on to your butts.
As Sam Jackson comes through from Naperville Central, Naperville, Illinois.
Yeah.
Decommitted from Purdue recently to come join TCU, four-star quarterback. This is a guy who, 5'11", 170, paging Kyler Murray. This is a guy that could be the next Kyler Murray, who's got that real simple flick of the wrist, can throw the ball 6 yards downfield with relative ease, and can make plays. And so I think is a guy who we're like, well, we got Sam Jackson, we got Honey coming in, and then you got Trent Battle. We'll get to Battle here in a second. But Jackson's a guy I think he can push Duggan to be a little bit better. We're seeing this from Duggan. We're seeing Duggan make the progress, but what can we see going forward from a guy like Sam Jackson is that competition level is going to go up, and you see the quarterback room now. You're like, could we have Duggan, and then we have
Yeah.
Matthew Downing.
Yeah.
And we like Matthew Downing the person.
Yeah.
He's come in and they lost Iowa State and lost Kansas State, the two games that he played serious time in. So he's a guy that can come in and be better as far as a backup for the next year or two. And then Duggan, I guess, technically has 3 more years here if he wants it.
Yeah.
So the second sophomore year, junior, senior. So the guy that'll compete, that'll push and be at least a reliable backup, him and Hoding. So that's you feel good about that position more going forward, judging what happened today.
Yeah, I mean, if you're recruiting right, you're getting at least one quarterback in every single class, because you never know how guys' careers are going to pan out. You never know when you're going to have a guy who comes in highly rated who ends up not being what you thought he was, or you have a guy who comes in highly rated who ends up dealing with a lot of injuries. Depth is super important. Quarterback development is super important. I mean, Max Duggan is a guy who you brought in as a four-star who you were expecting, like, okay, he's going to learn for a year or two, then it's going to be his show. All of a sudden, he's thrown into the fire, and now he is what he is. But you've got to have guys behind him.
Who was the 4-star middle America kid they brought in like 5 or 6 years ago that never panned out? That was
There was a few. Terrible. Well, Tyler Matthews made his thing.
Yeah, I'm thinking of.
There's another a good guy. A guy that
well,
I
yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm saying like he wasn't like he didn't work out.
Yeah,
talk about him legit throw a pass backwards.
Yeah, talk about how things have changed. Back, if you think back to 2013, for those of you who weren't Horned Frog fans at the time, that's when people were like, we're sick of Trayvon Boykin. Put Tyler Matthews in there. We want to see Tyler Matthews. And, of course, that didn't go so well. But Trey obviously ended up being what he was, and Tyler ended up being what he was.
Yeah, so you adding depth to the room is always better in case something – I mean, we've seen Max go down a couple times this year, right?
Yeah.
When you have a running quarterback, you're more susceptible yourself to injury. So, therefore, you could have more of a need for a guy like Sam Jackson, who can run a similar style of offense, I think, and play a similar style of football and not lose a whole lot should Duggan something bad happen to him. So, someone asked, Don Dowell asked, no paper Tiger pressers today. It doesn't seem like GP will be addressing us today. He hasn't done that yet in the December signing day period. They haven't had a December signing day press conference yet. So maybe in February we'll get to talk about these commits and recruits going forward. And then Ty Boland. Yeah, Boland asks.
Roland.
Roland, I can't read. About the big German. So
yes, Purple Dirk.
National segue, Alexander Honig. Yeah, man, 6'5 and a half, 230. German, the great unknown, dare I say, because he is obviously incredibly talented. He was the Rivals Camp MVP at the last camp they had before everything shut down this spring. He came over from Germany to America, and I keep thinking of like the Port of New Orleans. I think he like came on a boat is what my head keeps saying. But
he's like wearing a bowler hat and like he like changes his name at the when he comes on show.
The Blitzkrieger or whatever. He comes in and throws some bombs. Yeah. And so he's a guy that I think probably it'll take a couple years to develop, right?
Yeah,
like it'll probably take some time because you're coming from a prep league in Germany. Like they didn't have high school football. Like it's not like they can say they got the best player in all of Germany though. They got the best player in the country.
We can definitely hang our hat on that.
The absolute best player to come from Germany. They got that in Alexander Honig. I like him a lot. It's funny is I had a few months ago, a buddy of mine texted me out of the blue. He sent me this kid's highlight. He goes, dude, have you seen this German quarterback? I go, yeah, I text him pretty often.
Yeah.
He's coming to TCU. He's like, y'all should recruit him. I go, he's already coming.
I know this. He seems like an awesome kid, I will say.
He's a great kid. Yeah. Like, he's always down for like an interview. It was so funny. The Oklahoma State game last year was like the crazy back and forth. No one knew it was going to happen, right? And there was a play in the end zone. He, out of nowhere, DM'd me. That's not a touchdown. On a play that I think Tyler Wallace caught but didn't really catch.
Oh, yes.
He goes, that's not a touchdown. It's like he was watching it at home in Germany.
It's probably like 3 a.m. or something.
Yeah, and randomly shot me a DM. So he's a great kid, will be a great addition to the program. Again, I think it's going to take a couple years for him to develop and get used to the American style play, get used to Power 5 football because
We say about the competition level in club German football?
Yeah,
we don't know. Yeah,
no clue. We don't know anything. We're not living there yet.
Yet. Do you have plans?
Yeah, I don't know. Wessels is my last name. It's very German. So
Wessels?
Wessels. William Wessels.
Okay.
I don't know where that came from. But Honig's a guy that we like a lot, that we see a lot of potential in. No matter how long it's going to take for that to develop and blossom and for him to get his chance.
So. Yeah, I mean, we had a question a few weeks back on a podcast, who's got the highest ceiling in this recruiting class? And I don't think there's there's any question that if you talk about just potential and ceiling, it's him.
It's him.
Because
it's,
you don't know. I mean, it's just a roll of the dice, and we could have a hard eight with him, or we could have snake eyes, you know. Yeah. But either way,
yeah.
he's a warm body in the quarterback room, which I will absolutely not sneeze at.
And I don't know which of those hard eight or snake eyes is actually good in craps.
I think a hard eight is what you want.
Hard eight is good?
Yes. Snake eyes, you go out.
You bust?
Yeah, I believe.
Oh.
Yeah, did you not watch the Chappelle show with Ashy Larry?
But I think it's a different... They're not playing like legit craps, right?
Well, I think it's the same rules. I think it's just one's illegal and one's in Vegas, basically.
Which is a center of sin.
Yeah.
But
I called it Disney World for sad people last time I was there.
Well, I guess that makes sense. But so, speaking of the quarterbacks and people from far away, Trent Battle not as far away.
Yeah, a little bit closer.
A little bit closer. But Daphne, Alabama, right? So this guy, 6'1", 200, I think had a really phenomenal junior year. I don't think was as good of a quarterback this year as far as what he was able to put on tape and be successful. So I think he's a guy that will come in whether or not he plays quarterback, that's still to be determined. I think he's a guy that can come in and play a lot of different positions. He's very athletic. He's a freak of nature.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, we were texting about it. You were like, I get kind of a Josh Foster-y vibe from him. Like, he's a dude who could easily transition to safety and be insanely successful, as, I mean, Josh Foster really already has in a reserve role.
Yeah, I mean, well, didn't he come in and get a pick, like his second play, first play of playing? So
I'm excited about, I mean, I don't want Trey to go early, but I'm excited about the potential of a Josh Foster stepping in or an Atanza Vongor stepping in into that free safety role. I mean, we've got guys in that defensive backfield. Mm-hmm. And Trent Battle's another one who could be another dude back
again,
there.
Again, a guy I called 2 years ago that GP mentioned the other day, as far as getting to play some, I think it was against Kansas, Donovan Collins. He's moved from corner to safety. So keep an eye on him going forward as far as replacement for if Trey goes early, or maybe you move Van Zant somewhere to fill in that, or some way, shape, or form. I still like Donovan Collins' future going forward. Any other things that step out to you right now that you can mention on that?
Well, we've got any O-line surprises coming in the transfer portal from Don Dowell. I mean, we are fixing the taco line here in a little bit, but what do we know about transfers?
Yeah, we'll get to O-line. So, in Jeremy has hinted, there's a grad transfer coming. It might not be announced today, but there's a grad transfer coming. He didn't somewhere... If you do some digging on Horned Frog Blaze, you can probably find it. But so go in there, do some digging, sign up for a membership if you haven't already, and go find some stuff out.
We're not giving you any free tidbits.
Yeah, no, right? This is I work for them now. Yeah. So join them. So as far as O-linemen today, though, the guys got to protect these quarterbacks.
Yes, and we've learned in the last few years just how important these folks are.
they're really important. Yeah. And so Noah Boltikoff is a guy that has – not technically TCU bloodlines, but I'm gonna call him TCU bloodlines.
I mean, might as well be.
Yeah, right. He's coached by the Fultzes.
Yeah.
So he's 6'5", 265. He's just really good athletic. I like his footwork an awful lot too. So he's someone that I think is going to come in, bleed purple or bleed out. He's been preaching that for several years now.
Yes.
So Noah is a guy is probably the top O-lineman so far in this unit going forward. He turned down local teams, Kansas and Kansas State, to come here.
Yeah, yeah. So, and this is a dude too, if you haven't looked at him on social media, well, Blaze Foltz is training to do one of those World's Strongest Man competitions. Yeah, so he's been like pulling 18-wheelers on the reg, and guess who's over there pulling 18-wheeler semis with him? Noah Boltikoff, an 18-year-old human being. This kid's got a huge frame. I got to meet him in person at, I want to say it was the Texas Tech game. Nice kid, but he's a guy who looks like he's going to fill out very nicely and could be a huge piece on our offensive line.
Very projectile frame, and you can tell he already does work in the weight room. So he's someone that, going forward, you're very excited about what he can bring. And another questionable guy, not questionable person, but like where he'll play, Jasper Lott.
Mm-hmm.
So he plays some tight end and offensive lineman. I think he'll fit maybe a little better at TCU as an offensive lineman than a tight end, because they are bringing another tight end we'll get to in a second.
Yeah.
But Jasper Lott is another guy who with a big frame, 6'5", 243, if you can put him on the diet that who's the defensive tackle that's gained a ton of weight?
Oh, Isaiah Fulikatonga.
Fulikatonga. If you can put him on his diet, like, I think he's a guy who could become a really nice lineman. Again, he's got those family ties, right?
And we've turned tight ends into good offensive linemen before. I mean, ever heard of Jeff Olson? Yeah. Ever heard of Robert Deck? Those guys were both tight ends whenever they came to TCU and filled out pretty nicely and turned out to be starting tackles on a really good 2011 team.
And his dad is the head strength and conditioning coach for the Chargers.
So, yeah.
So he, again,
something tells me he knows how to to build his body.
Not a guy that's afraid of the weight room, that's for sure. And so you're getting those guys that are that have kind of those bloodlines, and there's a cool highlight of him breaking out to catch a pass, nice and easy. So he's got a nice frame. Maybe he sticks at tight end and can be a guy that that maybe you line up at tackle or tight, could be a great blocking tight end too.
Yeah,
that's a surprise play every once in a while, gets a catch or two. So
he could be like that. What was that kid for Baylor who was like gigantic, who they would send out for passes every now and then?
Oh,
back in the Bryles days.
Yeah, I can't think of his name. We're not talking about the Bryles days.
Yeah, but just
they're coming back again. Apparently,
God. No, I heard that they actually were going to keep Matt Wells, is what I heard.
Oh, as offensive coordinator.
Really?
That's what I saw a buddy of mine as a Tech alum today mentioned that specifically, because Matt Wells fired his buddy, who is an OC. Like he brought the Chris Harrison, the Woody Harrelson lookalike with him to be the OC, and so they fired him the other day. Our Bryles could be the OC at Tech.
Oh, my God.
Because he asked me about Sonny Cumbie. He goes, are y'all firing Sonny Cumbie? I was like, no. I was like, do you guys want him back?
Like, are you?
Are y'all on the market? He goes, no, we want Art Bryles there instead. So that's a buddy of mine.
Who are these degenerates? They're
Texas Tech. That's enough.
No, but that's not fair. There are lots of good Texas Tech people out there. Yeah. I mean, my father-in-law is probably rolling over in his urn at the mere discussion of Art Bryles coming to Lubbock. It's disgusting, man. This guy should not be in charge of anyone, especially like young people. Like,
yeah, good thing he is coaching high school children.
I know.
And running a meth lab simultaneously.
Yeah, apparently. Jeez.
That picture looks terrible. So
I'm disappointed. You know,
this is just people talking. It's not done.
I don't care if it happens or not. I'm disappointed that it's being discussed.
I care if it happens or not. I don't want it to happen.
No. Okay. Yeah. That was phrased poorly. Yeah. I don't want it to happen. But regardless of whether it happens or not, I am extremely disappointed. It's a bad look.
Yeah.
No. If I, as someone who grew up a diehard TCU fan, I love the Frogs. If Art Bryles came within sniffing distance of TCU, I'd be like, no, thank you. I'm done. Yeah. Like, there are some things that are more important than winning football games. There are.
Yeah, and like human safety should be should be one of them. So
yes, and integrity, and you know, like training good young men who don't rape people indiscriminately without consequence. I mean, you know, is that too much to ask?
Not of me.
Well, good. I'm glad you're on the same page as me, Billy.
Yeah, yeah. So let's get back to some good young men.
Let's get back to some
people that are wearing purple come the fall. DeAndre Rodgers, another tight end. It's DeAndre Rodgers is a guy who, again, was listed as a 2020 guy, signed with Cal originally and never went there. So he was the number 6 player in the state of Washington last year, number 8 tight end in the country, had 33 passes for 452 yards and 6 touchdowns. And that was just in half a season, a senior of high school, because he got hurt. So DeAndre Rodgers is a guy that I think is going to be more of your prototypical pass catcher tight end, could be the next Pro Wells, dare we say.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, these out-of-state, odd recruiting year tight ends have worked out for us in the recent past.
Yeah, well, and that's another thing, though. With tight ends, it worked, right? But I thinking about, like, Jacquez Sorrells not there. That didn't work. Adam Plant, that didn't work. Mm-hmm. As far as getting people from the year earlier, a year later, you think would be better and more developed. It hasn't worked in some cases, but, I mean, hopefully, because wasn't Pro Wells kind of like that, too? He had a year at a super small junior college like Milford, Connecticut, or whatever,
something like that.
And then comes here and plays and is great when he gets the ball.
Yeah. Speaking of Jacquez Sorrells, we did have a Twitter question from Bill Guyton asking, "What's the status of Blake Noel and Jacquez Sorrells? Do we know for sure?"
Sorrell, I think, is gone.
No longer on the team.
No longer on the team. I think. I don't know if he's on the depth chart or roster or not. But last I heard, he was not participating, so let's put it that way. Noel, I thought, still was. I haven't heard anything on Blake Noel.
So I guess there's a possibility it could be that Jacquez opted out, maybe, and he's not officially gone, but he's just not participating right now. So we don't know, is the answer to your question.
And he's still on the TCU roster, but so he's from Florida. He's back in Florida, so that's where he is.
And so
that's where he is. And Noel, I haven't heard his name come up at all, but he's maybe still around. So
yeah,
he's from Oklahoma. He's not from too far away.
Yes, yes.
Another guy that was a reclassification from DJ Rodgers is another pass catcher. Another guy that we think can help the offense, can help your receiver, help these quarterbacks we talked about earlier. It's Quincy Brown, another boot boy from Destrehan, Louisiana.
Love those boot boys.
Who was from Destrehan? Was that where...
Oh, man, that's a deep cut. I don't know.
Well, yeah. I can't. Is that where Isaiah Graham was from, or is that where Nigel Meeking was from?
I thought Isaiah Graham was from Monroe, but I may just be completely misremembering that.
Where's Nigel Meeking from, for whatever that's worth? I think that's a total rando shot. No, he's from Farmerville. Someone else is from Destrehan, I believe.
I couldn't even tell you where Destrehan is.
I think it's near New Orleans.
Okay, so South Louisiana.
Yeah, yeah, the bootiest part of the
boot. The bootiest part of the boot.
I've never said that before.
Straight from the bootiest part of the boot.
I've never said that before, but I do like that phrase now.
Yeah.
The booty. Yeah, it's from right outside of New Orleans.
The bootiest.
It's right between New Orleans and Baton Rouge.
Excellent.
So that's where Destrehan is. But that's where they're pulling Quincy Brown from. So again, he's another guy who was a 2020 classification, was committed to Mississippi State, but then never went there. So he's had a year to grow and everything else, and had offers from Mississippi State, Alabama, Arkansas, Auburn, A&M.
All
right. So he was a four-star in high school. Again, 2020, was going to go to an SEC school, it sounded like, no matter what, and comes here instead. So 6'4", 180, number 55 receiver in the country in that class. Again, he's –
Man, I was just thinking, like 6'4", four-star receiver. Like, this is another guy that we've been really stocking up on, these big body receivers, right? Like the Quentin Johnstons and the other folks in these last couple classes. Like, I just love it. I love bringing in another guy who can high point the ball and get downfield.
So hopefully he's a guy that can come in and do that. And again, he's been away from football for a year, which I just said my kind of concerns with those guys. And a couple guys that they have worked out, they haven't worked out. But Quincy, hopefully he works out going forward. So he was.
Well, I mean, you know, that's kind of – recruiting is a very inexact science. You can kind of say that about any of these guys, really.
Well, you know, paper hopefully tigers. They work out.
They're paper tigers, yeah.
They're all paper tigers. But, yeah, I think Quincy Brown is another guy who has – the speed and the frame that you like an awful lot of. It's a matter of can they learn the offense? Can they build and grow off that offense and take the next step after that?
Yeah. Yep. It's in their hands now.
it's in GP's hands to go and mold some of these guys. I'm trying to think, is there another offensive player that we might have missed? You can check there for any questions on the old
let's do that.
YouTube, anything there? Thinking of, oh, there's another receiver.
We got some questions about, we got a Mountaineer fan in the comments here. Love the videos, even though he's a Mountaineer fan. Well, welcome. love you being here. Okay, got some questions about bowl projections, if we've heard anything about if Liberty Bowl's happening or if Texas Bowl's happening.
I think we were talking about it in the press box before the game on Saturday. Sounds like Texas Bowl is more of a possibility than I thought it was, because the way it would shake out is that would be Oklahoma State's spot, but Oklahoma State went there last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought Oklahoma State went to the Liberty Bowl last year, which would send us to the Liberty Bowl.
No, because they lost to A&M in Texas Bowl.
Right. Yeah, Kansas State went to the Liberty Bowl. So it sounded like Texas, I think, is the most logical destination, assuming where teams shake out in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
And if because Oklahoma, I don't think either Oklahoma nor Iowa State will make the playoff, but then you got to go to – one will go to the Cotton Bowl for sure.
Mm-hmm.
One will go to the Alamo Bowl for sure.
Right.
And then the next taker, the next pick, I think is the – now it's the Cheez-It Bowl, but it's the one that isn't – the used to be the Camping World.
Yeah.
So out in Florida, that is the third pick among all the schools, and they'll take Texas.
Yeah, probably.
So fourth pick is probably the Texas Bowl. Are they going to take TCU, or are they going to take Oklahoma State, who Oklahoma State was just there last year?
Yeah.
And they usually don't go back-to-back years. Oklahoma State's also closer to the Liberty Bowl.
Yeah, and if you're thinking about who will travel better when you have a very limited amount of seats that you can sell.
Yeah.
There's a lot of TCU fans in Houston.
Yeah, there is. And so I think that if I had to bet where the bowl game is, I would bet the Texas Bowl versus an Arkansas or something like that. Since LSU is taking a 1-year bowl ban. Okay. I'm sure it'll be Arkansas. It could be any combo of Arkansas, Missouri, or Kentucky, I think.
Mm.
Or Tennessee, I guess. Yeah. I think all those SEC schools are still going to go to a bowl game. So, I mean, maybe Auburn? Like, I don't know. I don't know all the SEC ties, but I've seen Arkansas as like the most logical link to that. Yeah. And that'd be exciting. You play an SEC team.
Oh, yeah.
You can probably beat. But Arkansas has been surprisingly good this year,
and
they recruit a bunch of guys from DFW and Texas as well. It'd be good for them to come home. So
hey, I love playing Arkansas. I love the Southwest Conference throwback. I was up there for that game in Fayetteville in 2017. Had a blast beating them. You know, after all of the horror stories of the years and years of us losing to them from my family. So I'd love an Arkansas game.
I drove there and drove back in the same day.
Yeah,
drove there, covered the game, stayed for like 2 hours afterward, riding, drove back. It's a 5-hour drive from Fayetteville. That was a
Done that to Tech before.
Yeah.
Didn't work the game, but I've done the there and back in the same day thing.
It's pretty dumb. It's one of my dumber decisions. I was real tired.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, so that was a long day. So, that's my if I had to put money on it, I would bet Texas Bowl versus someone like Arkansas. So,
oh, that's what I'm hoping for, man.
That sounds really good to me. Let's see. Next receiver, because we mentioned, I forgot to mention this receiver, TJ Steele, 3-star, number 11 receiver in the class, 69th overall player in the nation. Mm-hmm. So this is a guy who's really good. The state's 11 receiver, the state's 69th, the nation's 69th receiver.
Nice.
So yeah. Either way, he's a nice receiver.
Yeah.
He had a fun connection there. Him and Blair Conrad. He's from Lubbock Estacado. Mm-hmm. So Blair Conrad has those Lubbock ties as well.
Yeah.
So you're getting a Lubbock kid who, again, somehow Lubbock or Texas Tech didn't feel like recruiting.
Yeah. Yet again, another dude in their backyard who they didn't even care to a passing glance at this kid. Okay, we'll take him.
Yeah. Right. He had 1,000 receiving yards and 500 rushing yards and 18 touchdowns last year.
Man.
So he's phenomenal.
Yeah. And I've seen just the pictures of him. I'm like, that looks like a grown little man. Like this 18-year-old child.
236 yards and 3 touchdowns in their first-round playoff game this year.
Oh, man.
Like, that's a game.
Yeah. I mean, I know lots of times you get kind of mismatches in by district if you're a really good team. But still, you're in the playoffs. Like, those are big numbers.
Yeah, that's a big number. So TJ Steele is a guy, there I say, is a steal.
Yeah.
Taking him from Lubbock, if you will. So, yeah, yes. There's your offensive side of the ball rundown. Interesting note here about Amonte Watkins. They listed him as an athlete on the press release.
Yes.
So while he is a running back in high school.
Yeah, I think 24/7 he's an all-purpose running
all-purpose
back, right?
All-purpose back. But TCU went ahead and listed him as an athlete. So that means... Okay. No tell where they're going to put him. They could at 5'10", 173, you can play pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
That's a frame that in TCU system could play linebacker.
Was Shewo bigger than that coming out
Shewo
of high school? Was he close to 200 something?
Shewo was like, he was.
I mean, he definitely put on weight while he was at TCU.
I think he was Derrick Henry built. Like, I think he was like a massive, massive player coming out of high school who I wanted. He was 6'2". 212.
Okay, yeah. So
coming out of high school. So he was, it's like, man.
So this is like a smaller Shewo.
A smaller
probably
Shewo.
Not going to play defensive end. Like some people were like, oh, maybe Shewo will play defensive end. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you could easily see him at linebacker, safety, running back, you know.
Receiver, return man. Like he could do a lot of different things. So I just noticed a little nugget here on there. And we mentioned
delicious.
We mentioned the defensive ends already. Who else have we not come across? Another receiver I missed. So many receivers. I'm just missing.
So many.
Chase Jackson, 6'2", 170 out of Choctaw, Oklahoma.
Another Okie.
Another Oklahoma kid. So the number one receiver in Oklahoma, 61st receiver in the nation. The number 10 overall player in the state of Oklahoma with 1,300 yards, 15 touchdowns as a junior. So, went to the state semifinals. He's great. Had offers from Texas, Indiana, and Minnesota. So,
hey, if he's good enough for them, he's good enough for me.
Yeah, so he's another bigger body guy who can go and make a catch. Like I said, 6'2", 170. I like his frame. I like what he can do going forward. So he's who can catch the ball. And that's what I've said in years past. It's the most important thing. If you can catch the football, you can play for TCU.
Yes, in past years, that's definitely been a bugaboo.
As far as I'm concerned. So we kind of mentioned potential position swaps for Amonte Watkins. So let's go with a linebacker. Javion Gibson, who's another one of these guys who I think they pulled in today, right?
Like yeah,
he was,
yeah.
He was down to Washington State, Kansas State, Arizona, and Houston as of yesterday. Picks up TCU today. I think a lot of people were thinking Washington State for him. TCU, the late push, gets your linebacker from the Houston area.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big difference in geography, you know? Like, I wonder, to me, you know, obviously I grew up in Fort Worth, so it's like being close to home. I always wanted to go to TCU, so I guess... those are just two such different things. Like, what was he looking for? What was high on his recruiting list? You know what I mean? I can't think of anything that's similar about Washington State and TCU, actually. So. So, I mean, the won him over somehow.
The Palouse and Hells Half Acre, I don't know if there's some similarities there or not.
I don't know.
But, yeah, I think it's, again, he's another kind of a taller, leaner athlete playing linebacker and go hit some people.
Yeah.
So he's another I don't know how to project him, really. Like, he's – I don't know what – he's smaller than Wallow. Like, I don't know where he – fits in exactly. But TCU has taken a lot of these linebackers in recent years and made them something a little bit – they're taking more athletes there and finding someone that can play. Like D. Winters, I think, was like an athlete to go, hey, we're going to put some thighs on you and have you hit some people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most linebackers at TCU didn't come in as linebackers. You know, you just go back through the list. I mean, Jason Phillips, Ty Summers, Kenny Kane – there's tons of them. Sam Carter was a safety. But Traven Howard, he was a running back or a safety, right, when he came in. And Montrell Wilson wasn't a linebacker. I mean, we do this. We take athletes and we make them linebackers.
Yeah, but so this guy's a linebacker, playing linebacker from Langham Creek in Houston. Knows how to hit some people.
Yeah.
So it's exciting.
Yes.
So, speaking of knowing how to hit some people, another Baton Rouge, Louisiana kid, another boot boy, Devon Armstead. I messed that up.
Hey.
Devon. I'm going to go with Devon Armstead because there's a comma and a random W in there that make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, I think it's Devon.
I'm sure it's Devon. But you're going into LSU's backyard and taking a safety. So I like that.
Duval.
So yeah, you're getting a safety, 6 foot 180 from Baton Rouge. What were you?
I was just getting some info about this kid. I was just looking what you got here.
Well, yeah, I'm pulling up his Horned Frog Blitz 247 Sports profile. So he's the number 72 safety in the country coming into this year class, the 66th player in Louisiana. So that's exciting. Like he's good. Like he's a solid player. Knocked on my door. Okay.
Oh. I'm not expecting a guest.
That'd be weird.
Again, pulling out all the stops for this podcast.
Special Sunday. Right? Who is it? Probably, tis the season. It's probably
it's the mailman from Mr. Rogers. He's going to teach us how they make plastic.
How to be nice to people on the internet. Let's do that for a change. So, yeah, Devon Armstead, and my dog is now walking by, inspecting the front door, looking for treats.
Do it, Babs.
Okay. Get her, Babs. But yeah, so Devon Armstead is your safety you brought in, and then you brought in one more player. I think this will be all of them. As another member of the secondary, Marvin Covington, another player who
Mansfield kid.
We kind of went from like furthest away to closest to home.
Yeah,
that's pretty much how we did this recruiting segment today. Because Marvin Covington is from Mansfield Lake Ridge. Who, if you're familiar with the schools in Mansfield, that's like the newest school.
Yeah,
and they're 5 or 6 years old, but they suddenly started going to state every year and everything. So
yeah.
they put out talent. He had offers from Baylor, Houston, and Miami, Mississippi State, and picked TCU. I think this is the kid I'm going to like a lot. Again, a cornerback, 5'11", 180, from the area. So it reminds me, Vernon Scotty.
Okay.
So he was my guy way back when, because he's a safety from Mansfield. I think he went to Summit High School.
Mm-hmm.
Came in, shined at a camp. Again, Covington couldn't go to a camp. But he's a kid I like a lot. I think he's very talented. He's going to be a great athlete and will develop. And he's already the standard TCU cornerback frame.
Yeah.
So
ready to go. So is he going to be your guy in this class?
See, my issue is I'm going with a lot of members of the secondary. Like I had Vernon Scott years ago.
One of these is going to hit.
Vernon Scott hit. He's in the NFL.
Yes,
like, he's
yes.
in the NFL. And, like, it took 3 years for that to hit, but he hit.
Yes.
Donovan Collins, I think, will still hit. T. Hunt, I was wrong on. Okay,
well, I mean, Garrett Walla was technically a member of the secondary when you picked
Walla him. Was my guy, too. Yeah, man, I picked nothing but secondary guys.
Yeah.
So I want to go with that, but at the same time, I don't, because I think it's – I don't want to get too backed into one position.
Yeah,
so
paint yourself
I don't know.
In a corner there.
I'll say give me
– And, you know, ideally it's a lower-rated guy. It's a guy that we're latching onto we think is going to do something.
I'm going to take Jasper Lott.
Okay.
Who, again, is not like he's not incredibly low rated, but he's a guy who could be a tight end, could be a tackle. I think I'm gonna latch on to Jasper Lott being the guy. Again, Blair Connor is another of my guys, and he's okay when he's healthy. So I'm gonna go with Jasper Lott being the guy.
Okay.
No, Boltikoff might be a better pick, though.
Boltikoff's a good one, man.
Boltikoff might be a better pick out of that.
He's gonna be a star. Yeah, absolutely. He's my 1B, but I think my 1A, I've gotta hitch my wagon. Or hitch my cart to this Alexander Honig Volkswagen,
okay,
if you will. I got a feeling about this kid. I want this kid to do good, and if he does good, I'm gonna be so excited and so happy because it's gonna be such a fun success story. I really think he could end up being something.
Yeah, so, I think so too.
And maybe it's as a redshirt senior, you know, after everybody else is already, you know, Sam Jackson has left for the NFL or whatever. But you know, I. Alexander Honig, he's going to be my guy in this class.
He's your guy. Yes. I like that. I like picking random guys. It's easy to pick the four stars, right? It's
yeah, Landon Watson's going to be great, yeah, and all these four stars are going to be great.
Zach Evans going to be good. Yes. Shocker. No one's surprised.
Yes.
You got to pick some. I call him the two-star special, and that's where Vernon Scott came from. So
yeah.
I feel okay about it. I feel okay about Jasper Lott being a thing.
Yeah, yeah. Jasper Lott.
No, Boltikoff, I think, might be a better
thing. No, yeah. Boltikoff, like I said, he's my 1B. He's going to be great.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Any more questions on there you want to go through? Anything else you want to mention? Because we have a couple Twitter questions.
Yeah, no new questions on the live stream. But yeah, we do have Twitter questions.
We got a couple of them. All right. Yeah. Drip King at D Duncan Soul. What seniors do you think will stick around? So I'm assuming these are people that could leave right now if they want to. Mm-hmm. Corey Beth is coming back.
Yes. We have confirmation on that at this point, yes? Or it's like
99%. 99%.
Yeah.
99%. I don't think he said anything, but I feel comfortable with him being a guy that can. Again, he didn't do senior day, which doesn't mean you have to go. Mm-hmm. Like Prowell's could feasibly come back.
Yeah.
And Austin Myers, I think, will come back.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are your guys that will be back for another year, another ride.
And outside of them, it was like two seniors entire team.
Yeah. I mean, you had a couple walk-ons of people that sure, were not impactful guys. But
right.
I think those are your guys that are going to come back. So talk about the two four-stars under the radar signees today, Rodgers and Brown. Yeah, we kind of went over them earlier.
Yeah.
I think they've got a chance to really hit as far as a team that needs weapons and need pieces. I think these are like DeAndre Rodgers for sure could be your next Pro Wells. Could be a guy that steps up and becomes a matchup nightmare for people in the secondary. So I like him a lot. And then as the receiver from Louisiana, still learning all the names. So we got Quincy Brown again, kind of a shocker. Even Jerry was like, I didn't know this one was coming. Mm-hmm. So
that one's exciting. Quincy Brown's really exciting.
It's exciting, but I get major Ryan Parker vibes.
Oh. Because
they tried to make that a thing a couple times.
Right.
And that never became a thing.
Yeah.
But, so.
Well, you know.
You know.
It happens.
they're not all going to hit, right?
Yeah.
Out of the 25 player, roughly 25 players you sign each year, like five of them never play.
Yeah.
And like, hopefully 10 of them become like starters. 10 to 15 become starters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Five become impactful. Five never play. I mean, it's going to happen every class.
Well, and this is what feeds into the whole stars don't matter mentality. Because if you go back through the TCU recruiting classes year after year and you look at the four stars, sure, you'll see your Jeremy Curleys. You know, you'll see your guys who, oh, yeah, they ended up being an absolute star. But then you'll see a bunch of guys you're like, oh, wow. Did they play a game? You know, maybe not.
I don't remember seeing this guy at all. Yeah. You've seen it here in anything about this guy.
Yeah.
So hopefully Brown becomes more of a hit than Ryan Parker was, but that's my fear of him becoming some of these players that didn't play last year in any capacity that lately have not been working out.
Yeah. So. But assuming he does, I mean, like, if we want to make the Ryan Parker comparison, Ryan Parker was a guy that we were excited about his potential. Really talented kid. Multiple times. Yeah, multiple times. Yeah. You know, or like maybe Omar Manning, I guess, could fall into that same category. Yep. A four-star dude who we're really excited about his potential, just doesn't hit. Hopefully he's the guy who hits. And if he does, could be really great.
Could be really great. Really, really great. And then last question from him is, how heavily will you participate in the portal market? Yeah, I think pretty heavily. I do. I think they're going to be... Again, with the smaller class, the class blew up today. It was bigger than I thought it was going to be. So I think maybe a little bit less than I thought. But I think you'll see a couple transfers coming. Again, we teased it a grad transfer earlier.
Yeah.
So go check out Hornfrog Blicks to hear about that some more. So I think they'll be pretty heavily in the transfer portal. Again, last year, they pulled in J.D. Spielman, T.J. Stormont.
Marcel Brooks.
And Marcel Brooks out of the transfer portal.
Yeah.
So, and the guys we all thought would be impactful guys. Stormont is like the most impactful of all three of them.
Yeah.
So... I bet they're bringing a couple guys out of the transfer portal. So get in there while you can. So I think that's all the Twitter questions for right now.
Yeah.
All the questions on there for right now. So we talk a little basketball, I guess.
And then let's talk a little basketball.
Then we can close out.
Yeah. That'll be a perfect segue into the Lee Nalen interview.
Yeah, perfect. That's how we do it. We definitely planned it that way.
Yes.
so we spoke after the Providence game. They looked really bad in that game.
Yeah.
And then Texas A&M, they looked fantastic.
Yes. So just like that. Everything's better. We're going to the Final Four. Punch your tickets now.
I mean, if they play like they did in that game, every game in the Big 12, I'm not going to say Final Four, but I'm going to say...
No, but we can have a really good season. Yeah, they
can be better than I thought they'd be. And they were blowing... Like, they're doubling them up in the first half.
Oh,
22-21 at halftime, and then let off the gas a little bit some in the second half, which I get when you're blowing them out and letting some other guys play some minutes. Like O'Bannon's still recovering from injury. He played 19 minutes. PJ Fuller missed the Providence game, played 31 minutes against A&M. That's a really good sign.
And looked good doing it.
We weren't sure about his ankle, about how that was going to look, but he put up 13 points, had 4 assists, a couple rebounds, so he looked good.
Miles continued to look great.
Mike Miles, man, he hit the first, two or three shots of the game, all three-pointers, and was on fire. He finished with 15 points, had 5 assists. One thing I'm noting on him, again, he's a true freshman. He's only played like 5 games so far.
Yeah.
Turnovers. Sometimes he gets a little careless with the ball.
Yeah.
Very early.
You said true freshman.
He's going to be a star. He's played 6 games at the college level or whatever it is. The 5 assist to 4 turnovers ratio is a little disconcerting, but and it's not going to get easier going to the Big 12. Like tonight, you're going to play Oklahoma State in a big Big 12 game.
Yes.
So and so
big.
The game's at 6:00. I think it's just on ESPN Plus. We'll check. We'll talk about that a little bit in a second. But RJ Nimber, I give you my login.
I got
you. So RJ Nimbard had 16 points, 9 assists in that game as well. He looked good. So yeah, I'm feeling better getting PJ Fuller back and getting more offense back. And that's what we talked about. They're struggling. They're struggling to score some points.
Yeah.
But they're 5-2, playing against Oklahoma State, 6 p.m. It's on regular ESPN tonight.
Oh, okay, good.
It was supposed to be an ESPN Plus. They moved it up. I think a game got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
I think Baylor had their game get canceled.
Yeah.
Because of COVID. I think they're supposed to play Stephen F. Austin or something. Mm-hmm. And they got canceled, so they're moving this game up to 6 p.m. tonight on ESPN. So, yeah, you can watch it. Haha, you don't get my login today.
Excellent. Well, actually, I'll have to record it and watch it later because I have
date night for you.
Yes.
Where are y'all going?
We are going to Simply Fondue in downtown Fort Worth. Celebrating our 9th wedding anniversary. A day early. But, married 9 years.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
How long were y'all together before you got married?
We have been together since 2007. Wow. So, this in February, it will be 14 years that we've been together.
Wow.
Yeah. That's we crazy. Grew up together, like in more like, ways than
did
one.
Did y'all meet like at a party freshman year of college?
No.
Was it like Lily and what's his face from How I Met Your Mother?
No, it wasn't like that. We
seen
actually,
that show, you know what I'm talking about?
I haven't watched all of How I Met Your Mother. I watched some of it. People keep telling me, you need to watch all of this.
You should watch it. There's a pandemic going on. You should watch it.
Okay. I've got so many shows that I need to watch. But we didn't go to the same high school. We were in the same musical theater company, actually. She danced, I acted, and we knew each other. Like, we met in, like, middle school and then, like, actually started dating in, you know, midway through high school. And it stuck. So, yeah.
And here we are, 14 years later.
Yes.
Still sticking to each other.
Yeah, we're dug in like ticks, man. Ain't no getting rid of the other one.
Well, that's good. That's awesome. And we'll go fondue it tonight. And
yes.
And then, that's a good joke. Glossed over.
Go fondue it. I said yes. I acknowledge that you made this joke.
Yes. Okay. There's a pun in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Dig it out with those weird forks they use. But yeah. There's your nice little basketball cherry on top of the Signing Day Spectacular.
Yes.
To lead into the Lee Nalen interview. So
my favorite Texas A&M tradition. You know, there's so many of them. They have so many great storied traditions. Losing to TCU is my favorite.
Is the best one for sure. So thank you all for tuning in on YouTube for the
live
show. We got everything in there. We got they almost lost to Tarleton State. Yeah. A&M might be really bad at basketball.
Yeah.
But that was
okay.
But that was a solid performance by the team. The team looked really good doing in that game. So you can learn a lot from
as Coach P says, if you do what you're supposed to do in the games you're supposed to win, the big games take care of themselves.
That's true. And so hopefully tonight against Oklahoma State, it is a big game. Kate Cunningham, the reigning newcomer of the week. I think you're looking at the last two Big 12 newcomers of the week, Mike Miles versus Kate Cunningham.
Yeah.
Potential #1 overall draft picks.
Yeah.
Kate Cunningham, Mike Miles.
Maybe.
Maybe. We'll see how that goes tonight at 6:00. So in 2 hours, if you're listening to this, you'll either miss it or you're watching it right now or whatever. But who knows how this is all going to pan out. But yeah, stick around now to hear Lee Nalen talk about his we got a couple NBA stories in there. We talk about Desmond Bane's path to success in the NBA, what the biggest transition is, what he has a interesting take on what he thinks Bane would be best for Bane in the first little bit of his career. I think it's very interesting. So right, give that a listen.
I always love having Lee Lane on the podcast. Yep.
So Clint, promote your YouTube channel that some people are watching.
Yes, some of you are already watching on the live stream. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. I got all of those TCU fan sketches going on there and some other sketches I have planned in the works. One I am trying to get Jeremiah Donati to work with me on.
If you've listened in recent weeks, you know the groundwork's up.
Yes, so we'll see if that... Either way, I have lots of things planned, so watch my TCU fans videos. Follow me on Twitter, @Clint_Foster55. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or however you get your podcasts. Give us a review. You'll love what you get every week.
Say I love mom or something like that. You don't have to say anything super nice. Just say something that we can all get behind. We can all agree with.
Yeah,
but I'm @BillyWessels. Again, Toad Talk is the podcast. Join Horned Frog Blitz because, again, if you were on there before today, you knew a lot of the stuff that Jeremy was talking about. So I'll be covering the basketball game tonight for them. So, plenty of stuff going on there. And then tomorrow we'll have a little bit more about Lee Nalen on Horned Frog Blitz as well. So, yeah, stick in for the interview, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
All right. Go Frogs!
Joining us today on the Toad Talk podcast is a TCU legend, a TCU great basketball player, Lee Nalen, on the phone. How are you doing today, Lee?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for coming on. A lot of stuff I want to hit with you today. First and foremost, you're no longer the most recent TCU draft pick. How does it make you feel?
Actually, it took so long, I started to think that, you know, maybe they didn't want nobody to come out of TCU no more. But I'm glad somebody finally came out to actually got drafted. You know, Williams, he didn't get drafted, but, you know, he's played a couple of years with the Pelicans, and they just traded him. I'm not sure where he's at now. I think OKC, I think they traded him there.
But, yeah, he's in the Thunder now.
Right, so, but Bane went the last pick of the first round, which, you know, I talked to him a little bit, congratulated him. One strange thing about it, though, is, you know, this year since the COVID, you know, none of the guys competed against each other. So, you know, actually when you get drafted or when you're trying to get drafted, you know, it's a process you go through. You know, you got to go through the pre-draft camp. Then from there you get workouts. The teams, hey, I want you to come work out for me. You might have 7 workouts. You might have 2. You might have 20. So from that, you get the workouts to project where you might slide to. So this year was kind of like, what would I say? Kind of like
your tape had to speak for itself.
The scouts had to go by film. So whoever had the best film basically got picked up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now, you know, coming into training camp, you know, the coach, this is the first time really the coaches actually, you know, laid eyes or hands on their pick or whatever, on the kid that they thought was, you know, supposed to be, you know, helping the team in that slot that he had the number. So now you got kids that go into camp that I've been talking to, you know, a few agents here and there about, you know, how camp and stuff going. And it's hard for them. They're saying it's hard for them to pick the speed up, you know, because again, this is their workouts as far as where they should be drafted. So, you know, I think this year would be the most draft picks to play G League.
Okay.
So, you know, but again, you know, guys got drafted. You know, they in camp or whatever, and, you know, it's still their dream to go to the NBA. So, you know, congratulations to all the guys that got drafted. No knock on them, but they took the easier road to get drafted. You feel me?
Yeah, they didn't have to go to the combine and go through the travel across country and workouts and stuff. Did you have the combine back in your day?
Yeah, I went my junior and I went senior year. Then I worked out my junior year. I worked out for my junior year, I went back to school, so I didn't work out for nobody. But my senior year, I worked out for 15 to 20 teams, you know, before I was got drafted second round. But it's funny because I didn't even work out for the Hornets. You know what I mean? So I take it that, you know, they probably heard, you know, because I had some pretty outstanding workouts. So they probably talked to a couple, you know, GMs and said that, you know, I probably had a decent workout. And that's, you know, that's probably what happened for me getting drafted to the Hornets.
What's the hardest thing that Desmond's going to learn? This is an unusual year for everybody, right? But as far as jumping to the NBA, what's the hardest thing he's going to learn in this first season?
I would say speed and position. You know, and again, I know they said the NBA is a positionless game, but that's for a certain height. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you 6'7" and up, 6'6" and up, then you're basically, if you can dribble, pass, and shoot, you're positionless. So for Bane, I told him, I said, listen, you got to work on your handles because you're gonna be a point guard. You're not gonna be a shooter because you know you're 6'2", 3.5". You know you're a point guard. You know you got Melo Ball, 6'7", 6'8", point guard. So, you know, he'll be guarding the Kawhis, the Paul Georges, you know, the 6'8". So I think the biggest adjustment is him, you know, finding a position and guarding guys that post up all the time. You know what I mean?
Is the defensive side of the ball harder to adjust than the offensive side?
It's not so much that it's harder. But you got coaches that know you can't defend, so they'll go at you every time, so coaches sub you out. You see what I mean?
Okay.
So say Bane come in the game, boom, he come in the game, they're playing against Phoenix. Chris Paul in the game at the point guard. Okay, Bane, you got to guard Chris Paul. One thing they're going to do is they're going to put him in pick and rolls until his head fall off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now he gotta get the respect from the NBA that, listen, you're not going to call my number every time I come in the game. You see what I mean?
Yeah, so, you got to be one of those guys that they can't pick on all the time.
Right. You can't be the guy on the block that, you know, get your lunch card taken every time you come wait for the school bus to come pick you up.
Was there a guy your rookie year you wanted to take their lunch? Was there one player specifically that after they got you maybe early on, you went back and got the next time around?
MJ, Michael, you know, because the first time for shoot around, you know, when you play at home, you know, the road team, they get the gym first, so then the home team get the gym second. So as I'm walking on the court, you know, Mike, he knew that I was starting, you know, because you know before shoot around or day before shoot around, you know, you kind of tell the other coach, hey, these are the starters unless something happened. So Mike knew I was starting, so on the way off the court, you know, Mike said some slick stuff to me. You know, I always hooped in shorts, so for shoot around, it was a light shoot around because we had a back to back. So coach is like, listen, you guys can come, you know, in sweats and your shoes, whatever. We just gonna walk through a couple sets. And then we out of here. So I had some Jordans on one of my favorite pairs that didn't have no shoestrings in it. So, you know, once I was walking off the court, he said, you gonna disrespect me like that and not wear no shoestrings in my shoes? You know, so he tried to bully me, you know, before the night game. So I was like, whoa, like MJ came at me a little bit. So again, you know, then then when the game started, you know, Doug Collins was his coach, so you know he tried to, you know, Doug Collins tried to come at me a couple times with MJ, and again I wasn't having it, and I had a good game. You know, I had like 20 or so. I think it was my first start. I had a really good game, and he had a subpar game. So that's why I felt like, you know, Bane got to get to that level to where he don't get picked on, he don't get bullied, because again, they NBA boy, they make you they'll turn a pit bull to a poodle quick.
Well, what did Jordan say to you after the game? Was there anything, any talk then or no?
Well, actually, after the game, I was like, yeah, you're talking that slick. I said a couple cuss words for him. You know, I just let him know, like, look, listen, I watch you. Yeah, you the GOAT, and I respect you, and you my idol. But once we out here, I'm at you. So the next time we played him, boy, he had 30 on me in the first quarter. I was like, whoa.
That's got to be wild. I mean, there's so many people he did that to also.
Yeah, man, and now I sit back and I watched, you know, this little documentary, the one that came out. What's the name of it?
The Last Dance.
The Last Dance, yeah. He, he, a couple guys got on there and told some war stories about, you know, talking trash to Mike. So I didn't feel so bad, but I feel like, man, I might have been I probably was the last one to get it, though. You know what I mean?
Because yeah.
He retired after that. But then again, you know, on the documentary, I seen that, you know, he was with Washington. He did have a couple words with a couple other teammates, and he had to, you know, shut them up, too. So I was like, wow, that was the same year, huh? So he had a couple guys he had to shut up.
Did you just say you made Jordan retire? Is that what I heard? Is what you're putting out there?
I think the Wizards did because he had part ownership of the team.
They were trying to win, and now we talk about teams trying to win. Memphis is trying to win now. They're really young and a fun team to watch, and they add Desmond Bane to that unit. Have you had a chance to really look at their team and their foundation, or are you just excited to see what Desmond can do in there?
I'm just excited to just – I actually, you know, I'm a junkie as far as watching basketball all the time. Me and my wife, we sit around and watch basketball, critique it, and I'll sit back, and the next day I watch a game again, see what I can do. Because, again, I still want to be a coach. I train a bunch of kids now. You know, I got a Team Nails training thing, and I got a camp coming on December 28th. So I'm still around the game a lot. But I watched Memphis. Man, they got about 40 people on the roster. But I think half of them will be G. I think Bane will play a little G League just to get his feet wet again, because they didn't have camp, they didn't have summer leagues, you know, they didn't have the combine, so they really didn't compete against their own, you know what I mean, before getting to that level. So I think he'll be up and down. I see he played, I think he played about 15 minutes. I think he had about 8 points, I think, something like that. He had a pretty good stat, but I didn't get a chance to watch the whole game. But I see he played a little bit and he scored, so that just let me know that he got the jitters out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he had 12 in their first preseason game on Saturday. So it looks like they'll use him in a variety of ways. And you mentioned you and your wife. You know, you have the camps coming up and the dough and tips. Which one do you want to brag about first?
well, actually, the camp, because that's really what my passion and love is, just to, you know, to touch these kids out here as much as I can, because basketball is trash now from high school all the way up, you know, like, no disrespect. You know, I come from an area, I'm from Indiana, to where, you know, all we do is sleep, eat, you know, basketball. So, you know, I when I came here, you know, watching basketball on TV and just been around it forever, it's just watered down. So, you know, I just try to give back as much as I can and, you know, give the kids, you know, a bunch of knowledge and different stuff, so that once they get to that level, you know, they heard it from me before, so it won't be, you know, foreign to them or something new to them. So, you know, for the camp, it's a 2-day camp. Excuse me, it's a 2-day camp, the 28th, and it's two sessions. It's a 11 to 1. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it's a 1 to 2:30 too. So different ages of middle school, high school, and, you know, we just do a bunch of drills and let them have fun a little bit. But the most important thing is I just want to open their minds to a lot of different stuff as far as what they're going to see at the next level if any of them make it there. So, you know, I this is my third one. I had two already at Game On. And they went pretty well. I'm gonna give t-shirts out. The first camp I gave t-shirts out. This one I give t-shirts out because it's a 2-day camp. It's kind of like a 2-day boot camp, you know. So again, it's a holiday camp, you know, for kids. You know, your parents, I know they've been looking for stuff for the kids to do over the holidays. So this is a great 2-day camp that I promise you, when they leave my camp, they'll be sleeping real good in December 28th and December 29th. So that's about, you know, pretty much as far as the camp.
Is the shirt going to say "I survived Camp Nalen"?
It's gonna say blood, sweat, tears.
There you go. So that's December 28th, 29th. Again, the kids will all be inside a lot these coming weeks now that it's getting colder. But get them in the gym. Get them moving. Get them doing something.
Yeah.
And you said earlier basketball's trash.
You know that little Christmas dinner up out of them. Get a couple pounds off of them.
Well, yeah. I mean, especially if you're catering dough and tips for Christmas, right? They could put those extra pounds that way.
Yeah, they definitely, once they come off the court, they can definitely get a nice little order. I got a nice menu for them too. For you know, not a lot of money. It's a lot of business around here that, you know, I'm not hating on them, but you know they're a little pricey. So we try to be more reasonable with our prices and try to give back more than anything.
Awesome, especially this time of year, especially this year among everything else. So.
Yeah, so you know, if you, for anybody that's listening to the podcast, you know, if you want to order some food, you know, you want us to do a party or anything for you guys, we got Dough and Tips. It's DOUGHANDTIPS.com. You can go on there and you can place the order online as well.
There you go. Well, I appreciate it, Lee. Anything else you want to promote? Your Twitter again one more time, and I'll let you go. And I really do appreciate your time today.
Appreciate it. You can follow me on Twitter and IG at Lee Nalon.
Thank you, Lee. Have yourself a happy holiday season.
You too, man. Appreciate it.